to do that, we welcome back our friend Sean Latch. Sean, good to see you again.
Yeah, good to be back.
How's your first few weeks of school gone?
It's been going good, you know, relatively relaxed. It typically is the beginning of the school year for us. It often takes a little while before the school groups start to ramp up, but I'm always telling teachers, now is a good time to book, because of course fall is a little bit easier to get in, and we even have some scholarships for school. So, you know, if you're a teacher out there and are interested, come and, you know, book now, if you will.
Absolutely. Good plan right there. We're finishing up September this week, so one more chance for people to see the Friday night show, Supermassive Black Holes.
Yeah, that program has done very well. Of course, looks at the largest and some of the strangest objects in our universe. On Sunday, we, of course, have final opportunities to see the Stellar's Mission Green and Radiohead music show. But this weekend also is our Friends and Family weekend at UMaine. So that means there's a whole ton of programming. Saturday all day, Sunday all day. We kick off things on Saturday at 10 a.m. with Worlds Beyond Earth and Aurora, Tales of the Northern Lights, Moonbase, the next step, Big Astronomy, Worlds of Ice, and then two showings of Dark Side of the Moon. Our 7 o'clock sold out, so we added a 5:30 showing of that as well. So a couple chances to see that famous Pink Floyd show if you need to do so. Then Sunday, of course, in addition to our normal Sunday shows, we have the Arctic, Our Last Great Wilderness at 11 a.m. and a 12:30 showing of Expedition Reef. So lots of cool things to see this weekend. Also this weekend is Stars Over Katahdin. And that's an annual event up at Katahdin Woods and Waters, which is an international dark sky preserve. And typically that we start that activity Saturday afternoon. There's a variety of hands-on activities for the kids. And then we do stargazing, weather permitting, of course, from sunset till around 10 p.m. or so, and sometimes later if folks are interested. This time of year, really great time of year, of course, to be looking at the Milky Way, because late summer, early fall, we're looking right into the center of our galaxy, and it's really spectacular up there. So if you want to be exposed to some of the darkest skies in Maine, again, Katahdin Woods and Waters this weekend, that annual event. It's a free event as well. You can just look up Stars Over Katahdin online and you'll get a link to register. They do ask that you register because they try to schedule food trucks and a few other things there to make people comfortable. So, yeah.
And with October coming, brand new shows. Let's start with next Friday night, Spark the Universe in Us.
This is a cool new show. It's from the California Academy of Sciences, and it looks at basically how stars forge the elements that make everything we know of, everything from the chair we're sitting in to the food you had for lunch to the car you drive, and all the atoms in our body basically forged inside of stars. Stars take hydrogen, helium, the simplest two things, and build it into everything else. We look at the process of that. There's been some really cool new science visualizations of how that works, and really give people an idea of why it's so important for us to understand a little bit about where we came from, you might say.
Excellent. And the Sunday show, the family show starting next week, Spooky Space.
Yeah, of course, it is Halloween season, so we definitely like to do some fun things for that. Spooky Space is a program that looks at witches and goblins and vampires and compares them to sort of their, what would you call it? Their equivalents in space. So everything from vampires being like black holes to ghosts being like nebula and the whole variety of fun things. It's a great family program. Get a little bit of an idea of how Halloween is connected as a celestial holiday, if you will. And additionally, for the month of October, we have a very special event on the 28th of the 28th, Monday the 28th at 6 p.m. We have a reading, a special reading from the Orono and Bangor's Reader Theater of The Langoliers, Stephen King.
Nice,
they got permission
nice.
To do that. They're doing it at the Planetarium from 6 to 8 p.m. That's a free event. They're going to be taking some donations, but that is something fun. Come out, join us for that. It's the Monday of Halloween week, so it'll kind of get you in the mood for some of that spooky stuff, of course.
And the music show, appropriate for the month of October.
Yeah, Monster Mash returns. We're going to have a few new updates to that show. But, of course, the Monster Mash, the song itself, but also Purple People Eater, a little bit of Alan Parsons, The Raven, Iron Man by Ozzy. Just a whole mix of sort of typical Halloween music. And we have some new songs this year, too. So do come check that out. Really great way to have some family fun and celebrate that spooky spooky holiday.
Love it. Love it. What have we got for viewing in the month of October up in the skies?
Well, I mentioned the Milky Way, of course. Right now, that's really great and spectacular. Jupiter is going to be visible all month long. It's going to rise around 8 o'clock and set around 4 a.m., so you have that most of the night. Saturn also is going to be up at sunset, so it'll give you a chance to catch that. So those two planets, and we're starting to get Venus is going to be starting to get higher and higher towards middle and end of the month over in the west right after sunset. If you're an early morning riser, you can catch Mars as well just before sunrise in the sky. And we're continuing to watch for aurora. Now, that's the thing. They are tough, and it does depend on that solar activity. But as we move towards solar max, we're expecting to see at least more opportunities to see them. Sometimes you have to use a camera to be able to see them because they're not always visible to the unaided eye. But if you check out spaceweather.com, it typically gives you an idea of where that aurora oval is, which is sort of the rough predicted visibility, and you can kind of look that up. Go out with your camera set it for a few second exposure. Most cameras on your phones can do that today too. And you might see a little glow. You want to be looking towards the north, and ideally the darker the skies, the better. You also want to avoid any time that the moon is in the sky. So if you're near a new moon, things like that, it's much better and much easier to see it as well.
Better at night or in the early morning hours before sunrise?
Can be either one. You don't want, again, any extra moonlight. So if you can avoid the moon or have the moon have set, then you're in good shape for that too. And the thing with aurora is because it's based on that solar activity, sometimes it won't happen right away early in the evening. Sometimes it'll be the middle of the night. Sometimes it's the morning. Sometimes it is early evening. It really is sort of one of those things because it depends on the amount of solar particles that are interacting with our atmosphere at any given moment. You can sometimes see it change and undulate over time, but it is one of those things. Sometimes it'll get bright for a few minutes and then it'll fade away and then it'll get bright again. So it is one of those things. You just sort of have to spend some time. It's sometimes called elusive, in fact, because you do have to work to see it.
Did I see recently, I feel like I read shortly after you were here last time, that we've discovered a new planet out there that bears at least some similarities to Earth and perhaps some of the conditions?
Yeah, there's been a new exoplanet discovery. And of course, we continue to discover these exoplanets, planets that are beyond our own solar system. And a few of them have become Earth size. And this one recently discovered, again, is one that is supposed to have the right conditions. So it probably is the right distance for its star to have water in a variety of different forms and have the right amount of, basically heat energy from its star to make life possible. Now, is there life there? That's hard to say. And again, these things tend to be very far away. So even if there is, we probably won't know for a while. But with the web, we're starting to be able to even look at their atmospheres and look at, signs of what's going on. And if we see a lot of methane, that can sometimes be a sign that something's going on with life there. So
they're inhabited by cows.
Possibly. No. Yeah. And, but at least it's cow belching, not cow farting. So, that's one of the other things, people are always like, they're belching that produces more methane than they're farting. So anyway.
And frankly, based on what we've seen of people, that sounds like a pretty decent place. It might be a step up.
You never know, right?
I guess maybe that herd mentality is everywhere. Oh, did I do
could
that?
Be,
did
ooh, I say, yeah.
Sean, always great to see you. Thanks so much for stopping
great
by.
Great to see you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Visit Sean up at the Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine, 12 minutes after 4 o'clock.